the guys on Twitter at PChef326 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Well, that didn't go as planned. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN. I guess I broke a promise to you guys. I promised Craig and Pete would be back before the break. They're not. I give them 5 minutes to walk like 500 feet, and they can't even do that, right? So guess what? Don't follow them on Twitter today. Follow me on Twitter, at ChrisESPN993. Let's get my followers up instead of giving these two yahoos everything. And had I known, I'd be kicking off the 2 o'clock hour. Hey, Pete Shepard's here. That's pretty awesome. Let me turn your mic up, pal.
Hold on.
Okay, all right, I got this. Had I known. I'm opening the 2 o'clock hour, I might have watched more of that football game last night. Maybe. I watched the beginning, bad weather. I said, you know what? Forget this. I'm done with this. I went ahead and I watched the end of Star Wars, The Last Jedi. Very underrated movie. I think I gave it a C first time around after seeing it in theaters. Definitely a B movie. Easily a B movie. But had I known that Craig and Pete weren't here to start the show today, probably would have watched some football. With that being said, we will get to the football. Last night, Eli Manning. From what I saw, you know, highlights, second half stuff, I thought he looked decent. I thought he looked like a guy who could still probably play in the NFL. The mobility's not there, but we've known that for a long time. I feel bad for Saquon Barkley for the Giants. It's just the dude's facing 8-man boxes constantly. He can't get anything going. I drafted him in 2 different fantasy leagues. And it's been a tough year this year. He doesn't have the touchdown output. Hey, Craig Sheeman's here too now. That's fun. How about that? Hey, guys, we're on air, just so you know. All right. So they're all frantic over there. NFL last night, good win by the Eagles. I mean, look, it's not the prettiest being down 17-3 at halftime, but it's a win. It keeps them alive in the division, and that's really all you're hoping for. A win's a win in the NFL. That is what it is. Hey, guys.
How are you?
Hold on.
I got to catch my damn breath.
I don't like this.
I don't either.
What?
Hosting a show.
It's easy.
Really?
It's easy. No, it's not.
All I have to do is talk for 4 hours.
As I said, I would have watched the football game last night had I known I'm opening up the show today.
Technical difficulty. What are you going to do?
All right. So anyway, here's what I know so far. Technical crap out. I don't know what happened out there. But there are already hundreds of toys and bikes already out there. Our street teamers are out there. All of our station tents are out there at Walmart and Estero Parkway and 41. You still going out there, and the Toys for Tots gang is out there collecting toys, cash, donations, presents. They're still out there. They're going to be out there till 6 o'clock. So yep. Go ahead and still stop by. We're going to continue to do our show.
Absolutely.
Well,
we know a lot of you last year were so generous, and a couple of our loyal listeners came down and really helped out. So that's all we can do is hope for that again. And
we've already surpassed last year. I was told last year was 800 bikes. I think we were up to 1,200 bikes already, from what I heard.
That's great.
Earlier today, plus cash, plus toys, gift certificates, and everything. So people of Southwest Florida have been extremely generous. And thank you very much for that. Keep on doing that.
Yeah.
All right. You caught your breath?
I'm fine.
You good? I'm winded.
I beat you here.
I don't know how.
Did you not cut across the parking lot?
No.
Where'd you go? The regular way around with the lights?
Are you kidding me?
Yes, I did.
How did you not cut across the Rusty's?
Well, and then there was an ambulance situation.
Oh, God.
I mean, it just figures.
He's so polite. You know,
so polite.
I literally was in a turn lane and had to move my car out of the way in the turn lane on 41 because there was an ambulance. There was a medical emergency in the neighborhood next to our radio station.
So you went out, crossed US 41 to get to a light to cross US 41?
Yeah.
I was going to tell you, follow me, cut through Walmart, cut through the parking lot, the Rusty's.
I leave through Rusty's every night. I'm aware of that exodus. The traffic was so busy on Estero, I couldn't cut over two lanes. So I said, bleep it, and I had to move.
I find, because we get off the air at the perfect time, when we leave here, I very rarely have to cut through Rusty's to get, because we're going the same direction. I always catch the light I don't know how, at the right time where there's like you look to the left and there's nothing. No traffic.
Not me. This time of year, I always leave about 2 minutes after you. I can't even make a right-hand turn on 41 usually to get out of here. And so I do cut through Rusty's every night.
Oh, I do that too. Usually, sometimes. But usually I catch it at 6:01 and it's perfect. Get lucky. You got to get the light change absolutely perfect, in season or out of season. But
By the way, thank you to PB&J and his wife. He sent us like a professional package of peanut butter jelly and bread to make peanut butter. He said there were Christmas cookies in there, but he accidentally took them to work and his wife made them, and he's keeping them. That's the deal there.
Yeah.
But thank you.
Somebody, you opened the package?
I opened the package. Okay. There's still, the food is untouched.
It's like Seinfeld. I signed for the package and didn't want to open the package.
Yeah, came here earlier today. All right. With all that aside, so Patriots are cheating again. Let's just get that out of there.
Oh, how did I not open with that?
Yeah.
I'm panicking on the backside here trying to make sure all the buttons are pressed correctly.
Let's get to the real story. Screw Eli Manning. I hope you saw his last game ever.
2:13, Chris texted us. Are you guys coming?
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
That was as Weezer was playing as the bump music.
I heard some of Weezer. I heard it.
So good stuff.
We're good. All right. So a lot going on in the NFL. So Chris did not watch last night's game. I watched last night's game. Eli Manning was pretty good in the first half. And then
awful in the second half.
I bailed in the third quarter, and then was surprised to learn that the Eagles won the game.
You missed nothing. A tale of two halves, and Eli Manning is, now you saw why he was benched. In the second half, he was okay the first half.
He looked really okay in the first half.
I don't know how they can play much better than that. It's good news for the Giants. They play hard. They lose. The Eagles did not play particularly well. They should have came out. And the weather was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. But, hey, for them, a win is a win. It's a divisional opponent. I know the Giants have lost 9 in a row for the first time in like a gazillion years. But a good win for the Eagles. They're now tied for technically Dallas is still in first place. But they're tied record-wise anyway, and they sure as hell have the easier schedule. We definitely know that. But it's going to come down to more than likely that game coming up. Now, the Dallas has another winning team to play this week, right? And the Rams.
Yeah. And we got some more comments later on Jerry Jones and Troy Aikman on Jerry Jones and Jerry Jones on Urban Meyer. So we got all that to talk about with them. But another thought on the Eagles. Here's how banged up they are at wide receiver. Did you know that Josh McCown, their former quarterback, who was coaching high school football, was activated on the roster as a receiver.
Yes.
In fact, he was the next one getting ready to come in if they lost another body.
Absolutely.
He played receiver for a couple of plays for the Lions back in the day. He actually has two catches for 15 yards on his resume. So
yeah, and the Eagles have been decimated with injuries for a good third of the season. I mean, a lot of teams have injuries. We get that. But they had some key players out during some key games, key moments. But I still expected a little bit better. I thought they'd come out a little bit less lethargic than they did last night. That was to get down to the Giants by two touchdowns at home. I don't care what the weather is or what's going on. I mean, that was like, but he sort of knew. I got the feeling the Eagles were going to come back. The two touchdowns wasn't safe enough, but it gets to overtime. You never know.
Well, I thought in the first half, Eagle fan was sitting there as miserable as could be, ice pellets of rain coming down on them, and they find themselves two touchdowns down to the lowly Giants. I thought if that was ever a game to bail, like I did in the comfy confines of my home, that would have been it. But no, they hung in there, and they got to see themselves in an
overtime. Giants' big question is going to be, Shermer's no question, he's getting fired. His record is 7-22, whatever it is. It's horrible. Will they fire Gettleman as well, or will they try to go the Ron Rivera-Gettleman renaissance and try to get the Giants revitalized that way? Otherwise, I still would like to see Ron Rivera go coach the Cleveland Browns. But there is no doubt in my mind Shermer's gone. It's just a question of, can Gettleman do enough grandstanding to save his position and get Ron Rivera there to recapture the glory days of the Carolina Panthers?
And one more fun stat of the day already in our first segment. For those of you that are pro Eli Manning Hall of Fame someday because of his two Super Bowl wins and MVP, that loss last night now put him a game below 500. He's 116 wins and 117 losses for his career. Just throwing that out there. Large sample size, too.
No picks last night, though, but two touchdowns, but no picks.
Did you feel, because I think Daniel Jones is going to come back before the end of the year. That's the impression I have. I don't know if you think he's out for the year or not. I think he's going to try and come back.
But whether they put him back in,
So, well, my question is, so Eli, I mean, it was last night the last of Eli. We got to see him for another couple of weeks. Do you think he will sign somewhere else or this, he'll retire? He was talking like he was going to retire because his wife, who never goes to Philadelphia because she hates the fans, they treat her poorly. And Eli was there. You got the sense that the family thought this might be the one of the last games they'll ever see him play. I get a feeling he's going to retire
at
the end of this year.
It's certainly possible. You'd like to see him go out, I'm sure, at MetLife Stadium, which they played their last game there, right? Against their home, I think, their last game this season.
Yeah.
You'd probably like to see that. But
yeah, home to the Eagles.
Yeah, and that
game, they got to do this again.
And that game could mean everything for Philadelphia.
Oh yeah,
it could mean everything. Despite their game with Dallas, you don't know with the Cowboys what's going to happen. So that game at the end of the season with the Giants might mean everything.
Well, the Eagles have no room for error. They either win the division or they go home.
Yes.
Well, Cowboys too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So
the game
the
will mean
because
likely.
It's such a bad division.
If they lose to the Cowboys, then that Giants game means nothing to them.
But Eli's comments after the game were, I don't want to be a backup in this league, and I don't want to be a coach in this league. If I'm in this league, I'm a starting quarterback.
Right.
Which to me says, okay, you're done. Because there's not a team that's going to take him on.
Where's it going to be a starter? Yeah, Jacksonville?
Exactly. Jacksonville's the only thing I can think of.
And they cannot cut. They cannot cut.
But I'm not sure Tom McLaughlin is going to be there to bring him in.
They still can't cut Foles. That's a major cap.
You haven't brought up the best quarterback on the team yet. Yeah. You have the cheapest starting quarterback in the NFL.
Minshew mania, baby.
I mean, they might clean house. Marone might be gone. Coughlin might be gone.
It feels stale. It feels like that team's given up.
Yesterday, five straight games of losing by
double digits. Yeah.
17 points, of at least 17 points. First time since 86 a team has lost by 17 plus
just
points.
Just move to London and get it over with already.
I don't want him to go to London.
I kind of do. I mean, it's not
going to affect me one way or the other. I don't want to see people lose their jobs.
Yeah, they've lost five games in a row. The Jags, that is, and their closest loss was 17 points for the Bucs.
That's the worst stretch in NFL history, by the way.
Well, for that five worst stretch, but that since '86, as far as five games by 17 plus, but their double digit losses is unparalleled. The last nine games, whatever it is,
not good. It's over. Yeah. All right, your reaction to last night's game and anything else going on in the NFL, 239-337 ESPN.
We're not breaking, by the way.
Oh, because we already did break?
We did our first break.
Oh.
Okay. So we're good till when, Chris?
We got about 20 minutes.
All right, let me get my mouse. Can I get my mouse? Give me 2 seconds.
Yeah, go get your mouse.
All right. While you're getting your mouse, let's bring up the other topic of the NFL. Pete brought it up on the show yesterday.
When he's away from his microphone?
Yeah. He's away from his mic. Here we go. Bill Belichick and the Patriots denying involvement with videographer caught taping the Bengals sidelines in a videotape of the Bengals-Browns game last week for a independent TV show called Do Your Job that airs. Is it in a New England area? A hot New England cable TV show?
It's on the web page.
So it's a web TV show or web video. Gotcha.
Web series.
All right.
Let me get this out of the way, okay? First of all, the NFL is investigating. Two things, and I'm about ready to say stupid Patriots if part of this is true. Now, yesterday, apparently, Matt Chatham, who's he's in the media now, former Patriot linebacker, is watching the official tape that the NFL is watching and says, which I'll read, as soon as my thing loads up here, I'll read it to you. I'll read what Matt had to say about it as far as them, quote-unquote, filming the Bengals sideline. Apparently, we talked about this being part of B-roll for this thing. They did want to document it on a scout in his day-to-day operation. The Cleveland Browns gave them permission. The problem I have with this whole thing, which is why I think it's stupid and I believe, Bill, this has nothing to do with the Patriots, that part of it, but it doesn't matter. This has to do with Robert Kraft and everybody else that is associated with this. If they did not, and maybe they thought the Browns were supposed to inform the Bengals, I don't know the protocol, but they obviously got credentialed for this by the Cleveland Browns, the home team. But apparently, we know that the Cleveland Browns and the NFL weren't notified. I believe them when they say it was an oversight. However, that is no excuse. That is no excuse at all. If they were dumb enough, and I use that, I don't say that often about that organization. If they're dumb enough not to inform the NFL and the Cincinnati Bengals, and I'm not sure what the protocol is for a production company, they did inform the home team, the Browns gave permission, but I would double and triple and quadruple check all of that stuff. Otherwise, it's just flat out stupid. Now, I agree. I think most of us with any intelligence, I remember Scott Van Pelt this morning saying, look, they're not stealing signs from the 1-12 Bengals. That's not the point, though. Every team, in this day and age, especially what happened in Spygate, which all Spygate was they were supposed to tape in this area, and they taped in that area. They were arrogant about it, ignorant about it, and got fined for it and paid the penalty. And to go through this, to not just go through the proper steps and make sure everything is taken care of, to me, it's just stupid. Dumb. That's no excuse for it. Now, I think the whole thing's really innocent. I don't think much is going to come of this. But the point of the matter is that they didn't inform the Bengals and they didn't inform the NFL. And that, to me, is just flat out dumb. There's no excuse for it. Dumb.
First of all, you took half of my fun away right there for the rest of the day.
I know.
I mean, damn, I got 3.5 more. You talk about it's hard to do a talk show, Chris. You just did 6 minutes. Now I got to do 3.5 hours.
I'm being realistic about it. Now I believe them when I think it was an unintentional oversight, but that is not the point. And Belichick's probably furious right now at Kraft Productions. And God only knows the cameramen, and sometimes, you know, Craig, how it is in this business, a lot of guys don't cover sports.
Yeah, they're not football people.
They're not football people. They just the director says, hey, shoot over there for a couple minutes. We'll use it as B-roll. Probably 8 seconds out of the 8 minutes they film will be shown on this series, I'm assuming, because that's what I heard. It was just for B-roll stuff. As innocent as it is, I understand the rest of the world, because of the hatred already, is going to look at this. And I am, too, as far as not following proper procedure, and I'm not sure what the exact protocol is. Like I said, we know the Browns gave them permission to do the show and do it where they were taping it from, but if they were expected, and I think they were, to inform the Bengals and the NFL, and that's just dumb. Dumb!
I don't deny.
Dumb.
I think they were properly credentialed. I don't think that's a problem.
No, they were.
They were doing a feature on scouts, actually, and the scout that was working
that day in the life of a scout.
The red flags that I have would be that they had the 8 continuous minutes of Bengals sideline video during the first quarter of the game. That's weird to me, because we know that part is not allowed. And also, it was either Dan Graziano or Diana Rossini that said that they had a source that said that the cameraman, once Bengals officials asked him, hey, what are you doing? He said, can we just erase this 8 minutes and forget about it? That's according to a report I read last. Those two things are a little bit of smoke in my mind. I don't like those.
I'd have to hear I'll give you what Matt Chatham said. Matt is a very logical former Patriot Jet. I think he played for the Dolphins with linebacker. Just got through a half of the broadcast of coach's copy of the Bengals game. Players on field don't look to the sideline, either side of the ball, for audibles, adjustments. Calls come in through the headset, shifts by other side, prompt signaling between players, not with a sideline. The whole thing is idiotic. And he might be right in all of that. My problem is the protocol. If it wasn't, because they could have done everything correctly except inform the Bengals and the NFL. That's what it seems like to me. And it's just, there's no excuse for it.
Well, and you're not allowed to film the other sideline from anywhere. You're not allowed to. And unfortunately, the Patriots don't get the benefit of the doubt here because of the history.
Nor should they.
Right.
They should not get the benefit of the doubt.
Yep.
Now, I think this is a lot bigger of a story if this is the Baltimore Ravens that they're caught filming.
I feel the opposite. Okay. Oh.
Oh, it'd be a bigger story if they're caught if the Pats are caught filming the Ravens.
Oh, I got you. Not the lowly Bengals.
Just because it's the Bengals. Like, I'm not. I don't think that the Pats need any more advantages than the players that they have on the field and the coaches that they have on the sideline to beat the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't think that, but it's just, once again, it's like we go every 2 years with this franchise, and it's never anything that's earth-shattering or groundbreaking, but it just feels like there's always that popping its head up around this team.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. Look, the Deflategate thing is the most overblown, stupid, idiotic story of all time. That's a fact. And 99% of the people never read the Wells report, don't even know the ideal gas, know nothing of what they're talking about. That's crap. What they did in Spygate, and by the way, the Jets got caught first doing it. Now, it doesn't make it right. All that was is you can tape here, you can't tape there. You are allowed to film games. You are allowed to, it's why they have coaches, but you are allowed to do it. They were just arrogant and ignorant back in 2000. Forget all that stuff. Mike McCann nails it with our sports law professor from SI. Looks like the NFL will use a logical method to assess the Patriots' Do Your Job Wet Series video controversy. If the video only shows what was already apparent on Bengals game broadcast or on the coaches' tape, then you might say the video does no damage and isn't a big deal. But if there is more to that, which we won't know, or maybe we will know, because I'm sure Roger Goodell wants to put this to rest actually sooner rather than later, then that's a whole different story.
I don't think he'll put this to rest until the offseason. His M.O. is to wait, say we're looking into it. I don't think it's going to be a decision before the end of this season.
I don't know about Mark Maskey for the Washington Post, who covers the NFL, says the NFL hopes to move quickly in its investigation of the Patriots video. A resolution is possible this week. One source said a consideration for the league is whether the video shows anything that could have been seen on TV or on the coach's tape, which is what Michael McCann said.
All right, let's say worst case scenario. Let's think this through. If they are going to act on this, and let's say worst case scenario, it's a solid 8 minutes of just focusing on coaches on the sideline, which you're not allowed to do. Given the history, this commissioner has already fined this owner, fined this coach, and suspended this quarterback for various things. Mm-hmm. If they've decided they've done something wrong here, and the Patriots admitted something was done wrong, but it was out of their control, but they'll take responsibility for it. That's pretty much what they said in their team statement.
Yeah.
Then what's Roger to do? Is he to fine them $1 million and take a draft pick away? I mean, what's he going to do this time around?
I don't know. I think it depends on really what is shown on that tape. And so far you're hearing conflicting things. And it seems, the whole thing seems very harmless to me, except for the fact that they didn't inform the Bengals and the NFL, which is... That's obviously proper protocol. I don't know if they thought informing and getting credentialed by the Browns and having them know about it was something that the Kraft production crew thought that was enough. That shouldn't matter either.
Well, explain something to me, because first of all, I thought they were properly credentialed in the press box.
They were, but okay. I'm saying they were properly credentialed and to film where they were.
Yeah.
It's also it's not the Cleveland Browns' responsibility to inform the Bengals or the NFL. It's the Patriots. Now, somebody in the production crew may have thought that way, that they didn't have to make a phone call to the Bengals or the NFL, but you have to. You have to. So that's the part that the NFL is looking at. And I mean, if there's 25 minutes of them focused on, you know, Bengals coaching staff, then of course that's going to be an issue. Now, like I said, I think the stuff that they filmed on the sideline that you're going to see, if you just watch the show, you probably won't even reckon. It's probably like 9 or 10 seconds of B-roll stuff. That's my understanding of what it was supposed to be. B-roll footage.
That's what it was supposed to
be.
But it was 8 minutes of sidelines of the coaches.
I want to hear from the cameraman what the exact orders were from the director. You know, does this guy even know? Has he ever even covered football before? And, you know, is he just a... Because there are a lot of people that work in sports that really don't care about sports. Yeah. I mean, they're cameramen, and they work at other types of news organizations. But look, I stand by what I said. I think this whole thing is fairly innocent, but it does not excuse them from not following proper protocol. No excuse for it for anybody in this day and age. If you're going to do something like this, and I'm sure they're not the only team that does these type of shows, you got to inform everybody.
Which is,
and you've got to make sure. And if I'm Robert Kraft and I'm Jonathan, I am making damn sure out of my way. I don't think Bill had anything to do with this because it's not his people. It's Kraft Productions, and they are responsible for making sure every last nook and cranny is checked for a variety of reasons that everybody knows about. So if they didn't do that, then shame on them.
I think the eight minutes of tape was going to end up on Bill's desk this week.
They don't need it. They're not getting it. Like you say, you're not. You're getting audibles through the helmet. You are not getting the signal changes through a button. And you see college coaches.
Well,
what do they have?
Isn't Foxborough a little notorious for headsets going out?
So is Pittsburgh.
It happens a lot at Gillette.
No, it doesn't. It happened twice. It does. I'm sorry, I can't give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm just telling you, that kind of nonsense happens in every stadium. You only hear about it. You heard about it this year at Heinz Field last year and in Carolina, I think. That stuff happens a lot.
It is a little ironic that a team that's so focused on details can't focus on details outside of the 100-yard rectangle that they play
on. They're great at winning Super Bowls. They suck at cheating. They get caught every time.
Well, see, cheating is a funny buzzword that you use when you don't know all. I mean, if you think cheating, as I've said, and I'll post the damn video. I'll post everything that has happened over the last 10. You can go to NFLCheat.com and look up the real culprits over the last 15 years. Patriots aren't even close. It seems like the Broncos, the 49ers, the Seahawks, a bunch of teams that have committed violations that don't, they get swept under the rug. Those teams have been fined more. They've been caught more from training camp violations all the way up. So, I mean, I could play this game all day. This is.
You surprised me, Pete Shepard. Because you're the first one to say that everybody spies, everybody cheats, the NCAA, everybody cheats. But to think the Patriots weren't doing anything wrong, you surprised me. You surprised me a little bit. I think this tape was going to end up on Bill Belichick's desk looking for coaches' signals.
You can assume that if you want. I'm not making that assumption at all. I don't think they need to tape 8 minutes of the Bengals or 20 minutes.
I don't think they do
of
either.
Of a 1-12 team.
I mean, goodness gracious!
It's despite how they're playing right now, I really think it was an honest mistake, but mishandled. Now, if it shows that they taped 25 minutes of the bench, you know that's going to be a different story. But we'll have to wait and see. But overall, no matter what, I think it was an innocent mistake. I also think they have to take responsibility big time for not informing the Bengals and the NFL. That's what they're supposed to do. And they didn't do it.
All right, our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776 if you want to jump in on some of this as details come forth. Again, I think this is going to drag on. You think this will be quickly resolved perhaps?
I think the NFL is trying to get this resolved very quickly.
All right.
According to NFL.com, the footage shows coaches signaling on the Bengals sideline. According to The Athletic, the 8-minute video shows a direct view of the Bengals sideline and keeps its focus there the entire time, which seems to contradict what the Patriots said in their statement, although the Patriots admitted that the team's video crew inappropriately filmed the field from the press box. The Pats also added the sole purpose of the filming was to provide an illustration of an advanced scout at work on the road. But yes, it certainly raises eyebrows.
Now,
why do you need... Do you need 8 minutes
of
footage?
If you're getting B-roll, B-roll is what they use while people are talking.
And they might not even use it.
And normally it's like 3 or 4 clips that are just rotated.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it is. Mm-hmm. So if you're in the industry, you know you don't need 8 minutes of B-roll. You know it. I'm sorry.
Not of the same thing on the sideline.
Not of that. You can focus on watch what's going on in the field, but I don't think you need 8 minutes of. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Get some crowd shots. Get some stadium shots.
Something.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're focusing in on the coach's reaction for this play or that play or whatever. I'm going to edit all that stuff together. Regardless. No, I'm sitting here. I always try to be upfront with you guys, and not despite your whatever you want to say. That and this is right.
I haven't said anything about the Patriots today.
The day is young.
I know this.
So I'm just telling you. Overall, if they didn't inform the NFL and the Bengals, which they didn't, it's to me. There's no other word to describe it except stupid.
It's stupid.
It's stupid,
and it will result in some sort of punishment for the franchise. I doubt it goes to the level of a draft pick, but there will be a fine here.
I'm sure there's going to be a fine.
It'll be a big fine. Yeah. And I seriously doubt that it'll get to draft picks.
Why do you seriously doubt it, though?
It just doesn't seem big enough to me for draft picks. Honestly.
Did the Jets situation deserve a draft pick?
Yeah, you know why? Because Belichick sent out a memo to everybody 2 weeks before specifically telling them. This is after the Jets got caught. Belichick. Goodell, they sent out a memo specifically warning everybody, don't tape here. You can tape over there. And they didn't follow. They didn't do it. And they admitted it.
But that was worth the draft pick, according to
Goodell. Yeah, because Goodell put out a memo.
Was Deflategate the draft pick?
I thought Deflategate was the
draft pick.
All
these Patriot problems, I get them all mixed up. I thought the draft pick was for Spygate. I thought Deflategate was just Brady getting 4 games.
No. Well, yeah, it was 4 games and a fine. Yes.
For Belichick or for Brady?
Okay. No.
The organization.
Tom Brady was suspended for 4 games, and the Pats lost 2 draft picks.
Yeah.
That was for Deflategate.
That was for Deflategate,
so there
right.
was no pick on Spygate.
Look, Deflategate, we have fun with it, but in all seriousness, it was a 35-point game against Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Like that.
And no one brings up the fact that their balls were deflated also. No one brings up the fact, and because the people don't understand the ideal gas law, which is the same thing when your tire light comes on, like the other day, and then as the temperature gets warmer, it goes off.
And every quarterback manipulates the football before
Aaron
the game.
Aaron Rodgers came out on the air and admitted, I don't like it a little under. He likes it over where it's supposed to be. Which is also illegal. But well, nobody made a big deal
out of that. I thought the cover-up in that case was worse than the actual crime, breaking your cell phone and going through all those lengths. It was silly. It was whatever. I don't think that it – I kind of put it in that realm for this.
Okay.
I don't know. Again, it's the Bengals.
If this is
Ravens we're talking about, the Patriots filming the Ravens, now I might have a bigger issue with it.
Well, do we think it was just one game?
Well, no, they didn't.
They got caught one game.
No, they didn't. They haven't been to every stadium for this piece. Do your job.
All right.
As far as I know,
we shall see.
Yep.
All right. 239-337-ESPN. 239-337-3776. A couple other items. As long as we're talking about NFL owners, Jerry Jones was asked if he has met with Urban Meyer yet, who expressed some moderate interest in the job should it become available. He says no. I have not talked to Urban Meyer yet and reiterated that Jason Garrett will be the coach through the end of the year. Then Troy Aikman, who's been very critical.
Wait, did he say yet?
No.
Okay, you. Okay. Okay.
No.
Because if that's a quote, then that's a big.
He hasn't talked to him yet. No. He just hasn't talked to him.
All right.
Period. Exclamation point. Then Troy Aikman, who was critical of Jerry Jones on a broadcast a week ago, doubled down on more criticism on a radio show when he was asked, hey, would you be interested in coming in and, you know, doing some sort of GM job there? And he says, well, that's part of the problem. Jerry would never allow for anybody to come do that. And as long as he is continuing going to be that way, then the team is going to continue to have problems, which I respect because Troy Aikman has to run into Jerry Jones a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in Dallas. He does a lot of Cowboy games.
Yep.
He's always around. And for the legends to start taking shots at the owner, I have a lot of respect for Troy Aikman for saying what he said.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Absolutely with you. And that's why any coach that has any kind of, a Ron Rivera type or an Urban Meyer type, I just don't see them ever going to the cop. I suppose he could, seduce them with $110 million. Yeah. I think that would be tough for anybody to turn down.
But here's the problem. Aikman said, look, everybody knows the owner calls the final shots, but you have to have one voice with the team, and it's got to be the head coach. And Jerry Jones has completely neutered Jason Garrett. Whether he's a good coach or a bad coach, he's completely neutered him, and the players know it, and they don't listen to him. And that's another part of the problem. And again, kudos to Aikman for saying that. Let's go to the phones. 239-337-ESPN. Charles, you're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. How are you on this day?
Hey, Charles.
Good. How you guys doing?
Fantastic.
The whole thing about this filming of do your job for the Patriots are not in Cincinnati. Why would they even be there filming that?
They're there next. They're taking them on this week.
They were there filming in
I understand that they're taking them on, but if they're not trying to cheat, why would they be there filming?
Because it's part of the series.
The series was they were showing what the job of a scout does. And a scout was there in advance scouting the Bengals against the Browns, getting ready for the game against the Patriots. And they did
which is perfectly legal.
They did interviews with them, I think, in the press box or whatever before the game and all that. The question here is there was also the crew was sitting there filming 8 minutes of the Bengals sideline once the game was started. That's what they're not allowed to do. So there's a legitimate reason for them to be there.
It seems all too convenient.
Well, I mean, I agree with a little bit of smoke here.
Let's face it.
Well,
there is a lot of cheating that goes on in every aspect of life. But to sit there and deny that you were trying to film the guys, come on.
Well, they didn't. They said they admitted the biggest problem of protocol that they screwed up on, Charles, is they did not inform the NFL or the Bengals, which they were supposed to do. Now, obviously, the Browns gave them permission to do what they were doing. And I don't know if somebody in the Kraft Productions thought that somebody dropped the ball. Somebody dropped the ball at Kraft Productions. Whoever it was, who's ever in charge, should have made damn sure, and really Jonathan and Robert should have made sure, too, that everything, proper procedure, was absolutely followed. So,
well, especially with their history,
Well, yeah, there's that. There's no question. And even though I think a lot of that stuff doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot, look, it means a lot to the NFL, allegedly, especially with that team. And that's fine, but they should know better. They should know better. They should have followed proper procedure to inform the NFL and the Bengals, and they didn't.
All right, we'll hear from Bill Belichick and all that's going on there. We got Sound Street coming up around the corner. Don't forget, the Beasley Bike Drive is still going on till 6 o'clock out there at Walmart at Estero Parkway and 41. Go on by, buy a bike, donate a bike, donate cash, donate gifts. It's all for toys for tots and needy children in our area here in Southwest Florida. We continue on Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
Last night, Monday Night Football, the Giants blew a lead. Eagles win in overtime. Pat Shurmur getting drilled by the media.
How did you think Eli played overall?
Thought he battled. He did a lot of good things.
Do you expect to be given the opportunity to finish the season?
We're going to play this thing week to week. We'll see.
What do you think the chances are that he's the starter again next week?
I can't tell you that.
Sorry, Patrick. I was referring to, do you expect the organization to give you a chance to finish out this season regardless?
Yeah, I do. But... we'll just have to wait and see, won't we?
Tough ones for me today.
All right, Pat Shurmur. Here's Eli Manning just taking it one week at a time.
There was a report out there that Daniel could miss the rest of the season. Do you allow yourself to think about these next three games and tonight being some sort of audition for you beyond this year?
I don't know what his status is, so I'm just going to take it one week at a time and just see what the coaches are telling me, find ways to improve and help out the team and try to get a win.
Eli Manning had a couple touchdown passes in the first half, looked pretty sharp, and then they just bogged down in the second half.
Could you expect much more than that? I mean, I thought he played as well as he could
play. I thought that was good.
I thought Giants played as well as you could play in a game like that against a desperate team that clearly, well, maybe if it all banged up, maybe they're not as more talented as we think. But clear with the quarterback and the tight end, they certainly are.
Meanwhile, here's Doug Peterson. Says, we were down 17-3 at the half and, moving on.
Everybody kind of understood what was going on, and it was just a matter of pride. We just had to just kind of figure it out, defense, again, did a great job in the second half, really kind of shutting everything down, for them and giving the offense opportunities. And, again, we struggled offensively to start the third quarter, but then kind of got into a little bit of a hurry-up tempo and got into a rhythm and scored those three scores.
All right, here's Bill Belichick on WEEI answering questions about the football operations having nothing to do with this video of a scout and the Bengals sideline of the Bengals-Browns game. Here's Bill Belichick.
I heard about this, and, evidently this is our production people on the TV show that were there. I have absolutely nothing to do. We have absolutely nothing to do with anything that they produce, direct, or shoot, or anything. I've never even seen any of their tapes or anything else. So this is something that we 100% have zero involvement with. This is something that you'd have to talk to the production people about, or what they were doing, or whatever it was.
So was this your advance?
We've never seen anything that they've shot other than what's going to be on TV.
Well, for a coach that never said anything, he said a lot there. That's a long soundbite for Bill Belichick.
Well, no, he's good, and that's my old partner Glenn Ordway, and that's the show we used to do every Monday with him, and he would be, not in a lot of situations like that, but he was a lot more open, so to speak.
Is that in studio, or they bring a guy over to the
Sid
facility?
Fox, it's at Gillette.
Yeah. Here's Bill Belichick, says this isn't Spygate all over again.
We've been watching it all afternoon on ESPN and elsewhere that, this was videotaping the signals on the sideline. I mean, we're going back 10 years, Bill. It's all over again.
Yeah. Well, no. That's, again, from a football standpoint, we absolutely know what the rules are, and we are 100% in compliance, to the best of my knowledge, of every single rule that we're responsible for. and what another part of the organization does or doesn't do as part of their, whether it's game presentation or TV shows or stuff like that. I mean, I have no idea what that is.
I mean, remember, you have, and this is for every team, you've got several television stations for every single, I'm assuming at least for the four major networks, and including ESPN in that, that you're getting tons of taping every single week. They don't know who's filming what on and at what times for everybody, if they're credentialed. But what I'm saying is, but the biggest question here is why they did not inform the NFL and the Bengals. That's the problem.
All right, one more on this. It's Zach Taylor. He's the head coach at Cincinnati, in case you don't know. you might not. He has no comment on the Patriots filming their sideline.
Rumors are out there that the Patriots had a videographer up in the Bengals press box area working with an advanced scout that was taking video of the Bengals sideline. Do you have any reaction to that?
I'm aware that there was an incident, but I know the league is investigating it, so I've got no comment.
The league is investigating, so it's out of the norm. It's not standard operating.
I don't have anything to say about it.
But there was somebody up there.
I've got no comment.
All right. When we come back, Freddie Kitchens getting into it with a reporter on Odell Beckham Jr.'s behavior over the last week. And we'll also check in with the Baltimore Ravens camp. Lamar Jackson's injured. I don't know if you know that or not. They got a short week Thursday night game.
And fantasy teams everywhere are trembling.
Oh, this is a semifinals for fantasy football?
Semifinal weekend in your fantasy football league. If this is the first weekend of your playoffs,
yes,
either get your commissioner to get with the times and move your championship to week 16, not week 17, or leave the league.
Yeah, exactly.
Either A or B will be fine in that scenario.
We'll have all that when we come back. We'll let you know what Le'Veon Bell was doing. He had the flu, so he didn't play this weekend. We'll let you know what he did in his free time. And it is the 3 o'clock hour of Tuesday. Time for Red Alert and also Master P Theater right around the corner. We got a lot to do. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.